Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Anime Watch Club, a bi-weekly group discussion and review where the host of the What You Say Anime podcast nominate and vote on shows that we haven't seen or shows that hopefully lead to a great discussion. On today's episode, the vice mention of the What You Say Anime podcast will be reviewing the 2023 anime Yuri Is My Job. Let's meet today's salon goers. First up, he is currently developing the yaoi version of the What You Say Anime podcast cafe. Coming to a local con near you, we got Jay. Jay, how's it going?
Hold on, guys. I gotta open this door before I start. All right, now I'm in here. I'm doing pretty well. Sorry, that big heavy metal door that they keep showing in Yuri Is My Job was in my way. So, yeah, glad to be here.
Glad you made it. Our first moderator of the night, he is on his Jordan flu game and in here to defend the show that he loves. We have Miles. Miles, how's it going?
You know, Pete, I was wondering, as you said this, how many flu games am I allowed until it's just a game?
Yeah. You know what? That's a good point. This is your last flu game, then.
Yeah, I think at some point I get like a healthy game. And like that's the outlier.
We're all waiting to see it. All right. And Pat.
Hi. Welcome. I really don't know what to say. We're here watching Yuri Is My Job, a 2023 spring seasonal. So that aired pretty recently, about a year ago, one might say even.
I think everybody would say that.
I think most people would say about a year ago.
It started on April 6th, so we can even say like...
pretty much be when this episode will air, about a year ago.
Pretty damn close.
Just about. Okay, guys, are we done yet? Yeah. Done by Studio Passione and Studio Lings, who have, if I recall, have done a lot of shows with the same like vibe as this, except maybe not to the success of this one or the failures. Who knows? We'll see. We'll see. To get to that, why don't we start with our first impressions? Miles, as the resident Libe defender, or I don't know, whatever this godforsaken show called itself. What have you got?
It's Cafe for first Love, impressions, bro.
I don't speak German.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So I watched this originally as it was airing, and I loved it. And like multiple people in our Discord dropped it basically immediately. So it became a bit of a bit for me to like really hype this up. And like it's very sincere from my point of view, but I also think that it's like very like targeted at me specifically. Like I don't think the show is perfect or anything, but I do genuinely love it. So my first impressions of this were like pretty good. I was pleasantly surprised with it, and I ended up liking it as it went on, like even more than like the initial few episodes. I think that it actually weaves like a pretty interesting dynamic between the characters. There's also a lot of references in it that are really cool. If you are familiar with Yuri media historically, right? So we'll talk about this more later, but if you're aware of sort of like the Yuri revival and Class S Yuri media, you're going to get a lot from the show because it's sort of talking about that genre a lot. Sort of one of the purposes of the shows. Would I recommend this? Yeah, absolutely. I love this show, and I think everyone should at least give it a chance because I like talking to people about things, even if they disagree with me. So please watch this and then talk to me about it.
You should start a club where people like come yes, together and watch right. shows that maybe they don't all like for each other. Man, I really got him laughing there so hard that his mic shut off. That's crazy.
What a good idea. And,
yeah, amazing stuff. No, yeah, well,
that's a
yeah,
one idea, Pat.
One that could arguably last at least 4 years at this point, almost. Which
I think it will be split into two eras. One where there was a certain
factor.
Should we say factor?
Yeah.
And one where there is that factor, pre and post.
May we never have a post factor.
It's tough.
Word. Yeah, there we go. All right.
Pat, you got to be on your game, pal. I'm having a hard time.
I know you're having, yeah, the two moderators are both, listen, my brain is completely fried. I've been working since like 6 this morning. That's why I'm just like, I'm here. Yuri is not my job. but it is now. So here we go. Jay, what about you? What do you think of this show? Oh.
So honestly, going into this show, I really wanted to like this because Miles enjoys it and Peter does not. And normally
I have two volumes of the manga.
And normally that for me is something that usually aligns with my taste. Not that me and Pete don't have similar tastes, because we do. It's just like normally if there's a disagreement in taste between Miles and Pete, I normally find myself on the Miles angle. So I went into this, you know, open-hearted, open-minded, eyes wide, can't lose, whatever the fucking phrase is. And it's a stinker. I'm sorry. It was a stinker in the first three episodes. There's like one likable character. And maybe the characters aren't meant to be likable because, like, you know, they have their facades going on. And it's like a show where you're just there to watch lesbian suffering and messiness, and maybe that's why the characters aren't likable. But like, I don't know, it was just a chore whenever anybody besides Tachibana was on the screen for me personally, especially that worm Kanoko. If Kanoko was a man, you know, I'm not even gonna go into it because it's a Yuri show, but it would be a very creepy situation if Kanoko was not a lady, basically. Like, it's like, Kanoko, why doesn't your phone make the government-mandated shutter noise? Many such questions are asked. Anyway, that's a long-winded way of me saying I do not recommend this show.
Wow. All right. Oh, well, there you go. That was going to be my follow-up. Yeah, because that was a lot. But you could still recommend it to certain people.
I like the character designs well enough. Like, that really is what made me want to, like, give it a really fair chance. Like, I was going to watch it either way, obviously, but whenever I like the character designs in there, especially in like the OP and everything, when they're first showing off the main cast and everything, as well as like the majority of the plot, it just, when it comes to dialogue and whatnot, it just feels like it, even in the first three episodes, it's just spinning itself in circles for Yuri suffering. Like,
yeah,
not my cup of tea, I guess.
That's interesting, because, like, again, I'm not a fan of Yuri bait. I don't know if I've probably talked about this a little bit.
I wouldn't call it bait, though.
Maybe not bait. No, you're right. That's fair. It felt like that at times, though, you know, where it was like unsure or whether they were actually like, will they, won't they, like that kind of a thing. But you're right. I get what your point is, though, too. But for me, I really enjoyed the little dialogue and the facade game going back and forth like that. That made me actually like the dialogue in this show a lot, at least, especially at the start versus. Maybe later on it fell off for me, or I got bored of it or frustrated, because like you said, it is very cyclical. But I did enjoy it at first. Sorry, Pete, go ahead. What are your impressions? I just wanted to comment.
For sure. Yeah. So the first time I watched this show, I dropped it after one episode. I thought it was just absolutely boring. It was so just dull. The dialogue was terrible. The characters, not a fan of. And then with this, I'm forced to watch three episodes. So I'm like, okay. I'm going to give it a little bit more of a shot because I kind of have to. And after those three episodes, I was right. The show is not good. You know what it's missing? It's missing that cayenne pepper. It's missing that crushed red pepper. It's missing that Old Bay. It's missing a spice. It's missing something to keep me going and interested. I just could not get involved with any of these people. I couldn't relate to any of their problems. I couldn't relate to anything that they were doing, whether it's like workplace drama, relationship drama, none of that. All of that I thought was just like so sloppy. I don't know. It was just not my cup of tea at all. I would not recommend this. I think the show is bad to mid, essentially. It's not good. I think there's just so much better content out there that you can consume if you're a fan of like Yuri content. Like, even what? If it's like meta commentary shit, like it's
sure. What would your favorite meta commentary Yuri be?
Ochinoko.
No.
That's your favorite meta commentary Yuri?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I meant Yuri, not meta commentary Yuri. It's just,
okay, my bad. That's
to make that, I don't know if I think this is in a league of its own in terms of that, but yeah, it's just bad. That's all it is just bad.
All right. Okay, yeah, this is going to be a really fun episode. I can tell this is going to be a fun
episode. House divided.
Yeah, really? All right, and to be clear, maybe the bombshell that I dropped on you guys. When you pulled that out, I got so distracted because I was like wondering, is that just on your desk? Do you keep that on your desk or do you bring it?
I think it also shows off how little or like how bad I am at cooking, that like these are like the three spices I have in my kitchen.
So, like, it's missing some salt in some other salt container I have.
Oh, you like meat? Well, I have Old Bay for you because that's the only seasoning.
This show is pretty unseasoned, honestly.
Yes.
It could use a little bit of salt.
This is a bland chicken breast.
Kanoko was pretty salty, honestly. Oh, yeah. So maybe there was a little bit of salt.
What, Jay, what I have to say to you really quick is that...
Wow, call me up. Go ahead. No,
is that it's creepy in the context of this show. What I she's know, doing but is it would creepy.
Be even more creepy if she was a man. Though,
sure. Obviously. I mean, yeah, yes, I just it don't is think
creepy.
It's... Yeah,
I literally it's posted that Kanoko's songs, theme songs, were Creeped by Radiohead and Teenage Dirtbag by Wheatus.
I mean, there's like, they're doing some like off-key music using a Dutch angle, zooming in on her face while she's talking. Like, they're very aware of how insane she is.
I needed a red circle in the bottom and a green circle on the other side that would light up at various points to tell me how I'm supposed to feel about what's going on the screen.
Okay. That's, you know, to me, the eerie music and like the askew camera really did it.
I think red and green, that shit would probably still confuse me. Make them a smiley face and a frowny face as well.
Sponsored by Annie List. Just, yeah.
Hey, shout out Annie Liz.
Okay.
We need Pat's first impressions.
Yeah, I was just starting again. Yeah, which is fine.
Take time to call me out, apparently.
No, my very first impressions were, which I guess, yeah, no, it's not. I guess it's a little spoiler heavy. I don't know. This show, to be very clear, though, like I was saying earlier, I enjoyed aspects of it, but I shouldn't have said that I really, really enjoyed the show by any means. You know, like I found it bearable to watch and when I expected going into this to absolutely despise it, to absolutely hate it as much as like Pete disliked it, if not worse, honestly. I was expecting like Citrus version 2 for me, like at this point where I am offended by what is going on my screen and the portrayals of other people. So I was not there with this show. I enjoyed the dialogue and some of the characters enough to really like some of the meta commentary that was going on. Although at times I disagreed with it because it was still just continuing the joke, I guess. I don't know. We can talk about that a little bit later because, you know, a lot of satire or a lot of like parodies or references fall into that problem, right? In I don't know, in media, right? But that's still avoidable, I think, more so than the show would have you believe. So I recommend this. God, that's a weird thought to have. I don't think I would. I would not have wanted to watch this on my own. And I think my senses, my spider senses, were on track with that one. I'm glad I watched it because it was interesting, at least. And this is gonna be a fun episode, I think. So I'm really glad I watched it, but I really wish I did, so I would not recommend this to most people unless they're really just looking for any excuse to watch another Yuri show, or I don't know, they like the character designs, like Jay said, or something, which they are pretty nice. The character designs are nice. So with that, I guess we go into our spoiler section.
Okay, I'd like to give some background on like exactly what is like with the cafe, right? Because the cafe is a reference to a very, very specific piece of media, which is called Maria Watches Over Us.
Did that there? I think I almost nominated that for Watch Club, some series of it.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. So Maria Watches Over Us was like originally a novel series that came out in like the late 90s, I think, until like 2012. Like there's a lot of it. There's four seasons of it on High Dive. In preparation for this episode, I watched the first season. So it is what is called like Class S Yuri. So to describe what that is really quickly, and I just want to make this very clear, I am not an expert on sexuality in Japan or class S Yuri or any of this stuff. But a class S relationship is what is referred to as like a romantic friendship. So did we see this relatively commonly in anime, I think, but it's like a quasi-romantic relationship between two girls. There's usually like a senpai, kohai sort of thing going on. And it's viewed as romantic, but it's not sexual in any way. And it is expected to end upon the graduation of like the older girl sort of thing. So, you know, I don't know enough to talk about any of that, but that is sort of that. So like in the West, I think that sort of relationship is definitely not very common or viewed as like a little alien or whatever. But this is in a lot of ways, like a commentary on that sort of thing. So, you know, there have been some, you know, there's like controversy around it and how like that sort of relationship perpetuates the idea that homosexuality is a phase for people and things like that. So the cafe is like so very much exactly just the school from Maria Watches Over Us, except for instead of French, it's German. They have these, you know, sister relationships with crucifixes. It's actually really more complicated in Maria Watches Over Us. There's like families that are based on different flowers, and then there's like tiers of importance to them. But there's also like a lot of focus on like purity culture and stuff too. Like the intro to Maria Watches Over Us talks about how like primly and properly they walk in order to like never have their uniforms get like rustled or anything like that. It's like very focused on acting properly and all of that sort of stuff. From what I've seen, again, not an expert, but I did want to do some amount of background on this. So I did that, and then I read some of Strawberry Panic, which is another very similar Class S Yuri novel that has like that again, like the crucifixes, the private school, all of that is just there. So Maria Watches Over Us is like extremely influential as far as Yuri media goes for at least, you know, the 90s and 2000s and all of that.
I think if you like go to like Mal and like look up like the girls love tag, like if you specifically like the 90s and 2000s, every like PV art of a show looks the exact same. It's like all girls school, really nice, like long, like two piece, like uniforms, and like it's all clicking right now. It's all coming together. Like, who knew that that was the catalyst for all these 90s and early 2000s years?
To piggyback off what Miles said, it's actually kind of interesting because, like, the whole idea of Class S is based off of that sisterhood relationship. And that's something that sort of got, like, it has, like, a historical importance in Japan, too. Because that's something that sort of was introduced to Japan when, like, it's basically like a Western concept.
It was like Little Women, I think, was like a big...
Yeah, Little Women and stuff like that are the big, like, drivers of that sort of thing. And again, I'm not an expert either. This is just from glancing at Wikipedia last night after I saw Miles and another Discord user talking about Class S Yuri. Which, by the way, if you wanted to ever talk about Class S Yuri, or even Yaoi, or God forbid... straight couples, you could join us over on the What Do You Say Anime Discord server.
Sick plug,
sick,
Pat.
Jay. Sick plug, Pat. Pat. That was a sick Thanks. Plug, yeah.
So, yeah, I guess it's just kind of... I found that the, like, historical aspect of the Class S thing was very interesting to me. And whenever you mention, like, it being so related to, like, a like Maria Watches Over Us, which is obviously about a Catholic girls' school, that adds on to it because... obviously, there were not too many Catholic girls' schools in Japan before the West got there.
Yeah, no, that's so, yeah, these were really big in like the, I think it was like up until like the 30s. And then there was a ban of that type of literature like during the war. And I don't know exactly why, because there was like even like bans on like straight romance material aimed at women. So just sort of like, I don't know exactly what was happening. They were in the middle of a war as a, you know, empire or whatever. But
we're doing the 30s a war is kind.
Yeah, a very large war that was
invasion of every other part of the world.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess I just don't know the reasoning behind all of that is what I'm saying. Like, you know, I'm not like an expert on all of this, but Maria Watches Over Us is like sort of credited for reviving this. Because like there's a book, I forget exactly what it's called, but it's from like the 1920s or something, and it's some Japanese woman wrote it, and it's about this sort of relationship, and I really wanted to like get through that, but I've been very sick, and I'm amazed that I even got through two shows and a little bit of another book.
I'm surprised you're here.
That's where we are. I think that's like
how to read.
Yeah, get your own bit, bro.
But that's like, I think, pretty important background for, I guess, fully getting what you're supposed to get out of this. You know, and I think that the target audience for this is going to be very familiar with that.
Yeah.
You know, it's Maria Watches Over Us is like the Dragon Ball of Yuri Media or whatever, from all of my understanding. Anyways, let's talk about the actual show we watched. You know, the characters are a pretty important part of the show. So let's, I guess, like get our thoughts on them and sort of describe them a bit first. Pete, you wanted to start with a hot take, though.
Yeah. Well, I think most people are going to say that Kaneko is the worst girl and is like a huge detriment to people's enjoyments of the show. I kind of have like a nitpick that Nene, the chef, kind of got on my nerves. She's sort of like this random voice of reason to like the manager and to some other people, like, when they're talking about like romance inside of the cafe, she's just sort of like, she has like the most sound words to these people, like out of nowhere. Like she's hardly like interacting with the cast. Like she takes the, like they bring the orders to her. She's like, okay, like I'll do that. And then I think like before that, like the only thing she ever says, like, is somebody in like the changing room? And like, that's like all the dialogue we get from her. And then like in episode like 8 or 9 or 10, it's like, she's talking to the manager about like what love is, and she's talking to Yano about like how romance should be like interpreted. And I was like, this is a random character to get introduced to do this.
I honestly
entire flashback explaining that, though.
No, but she's like not interacting with the cast. That's like the thing where it's like she like it's like, I don't know, leaning on somebody that you like don't have a rapport with. And that kind of like threw me off.
But they do have a rapport with that. Like,
but like you're not, in the sense of the show, like Tachibana is interacting with Yano and Hime and Kaneko and the manager 98% of the time. Like,
whose perspective are you seeing it from 98% of the time?
Like Hime and them, I guess. Okay. Yeah. But when you have that as your dialogue in the show, and then when you have like this issue that gets arose, that's the character that is telling us the information. And yeah, sure, we have background stuff, but like that rapport isn't like necessarily ingrained with the girls that I interpreted as, because I feel like you would go to somebody, like I would think like Hime would go to somebody else other than, I was just saying Hime because she doesn't go to her, but like,
yeah,
Nene like telling the audience, like, I guess, like how we should maybe view the romance, I guess. Just seemed off. Like, she didn't seem like the character to tell me that. I thought like the manager would probably be like a better character for that information to be relayed. That kind of just like really threw me off.
That's so weird, because like, I mean, I don't want to like, to me that's just like really good writing, because one, it gives you like, she's the only one that we've seen actively be in a romantic relationship, right? So that would give her some sort of authority on there. Plus, her and Sumika are insanely close with each other, and that's been implied a few times before. Like, it only comes out of nowhere if you didn't catch that.
I just disagree. Like, I just don't think with the dialogue with the characters and the rapport that they build that that's the character to tell us that information.
So it should be someone who's never been in a romantic relationship.
Well, you don't have to be in a relationship to like relay that in. You can be single your whole life and still have an idea of what you view romance as and what you picture it as.
But Nene is core to that romantic conflict, right?
I'm not saying she's not. I'm saying that with how it's set up in the show, with the dialogue between the cast and how and it's perceived, that character just doesn't seem like the person to tell me like what the view of the romance in the show is. Like, I just didn't feel like that was the character to do it.
That's not what's happening. They're talking, they're debating their views of romance.
Yeah,
right?
But I guess then I'll say this. I felt like Nene was telling me like the correct way to view the romance in the show. Like, the whole conflict is like Tachibana doesn't want the romance because it will ruin kind of like the core group because it did it before. So like that's like the conflict of like, we should accept the romance in the show. You should just like love who you love type of thing. So like we have like these two conflicting sides. So Tachibana, I thought, had the viewpoint of the one side. I just didn't feel like Nene should be the person to tell me the opposite viewpoint. Like I just didn't get it from her.
So the entire conflict arises because Nene has the opposite viewpoint.
I understand that it's because she was one of the catalysts in the past for the relationships breaking up sort of the core group. I understand that. That's not the issue. The issue is the new incoming group of Hime and Kanako, because it's mostly viewed through Hime's viewpoint, that she doesn't have that rapport with Nene. So yeah. I just didn't think that should be the person that
Hime doesn't have that conversation with Nene, though.
I know she doesn't.
I'm saying Nene
should be the person to tell me that information.
She's telling Tachibana, though. She's not telling you.
She is. She is telling us. She's telling us the other side of the conflict. The other side of the conflict. I just feel like Nene, like, because like the manager was also involved in that whole sphere. Like, I know it's Nene was the person that was like at the forefront of it. Like, I understand that part, but like Nene doesn't have like the report with Hime and doesn't have the report with Kanako, and that's like kind of what I feel. Because it's through their eyes that's not the person that I want to hear that information from.
Okay. I mean, I don't know what to tell you other than like, one, Hime and Kanako don't get told this, right? It's like
I don't think you're getting it, because it's Nene telling that to us, the audience. I feel like she shouldn't be the person to relay that information to us.
So you
in the sense of the show, it's just a personal opinion.
I just don't know how. I guess I just don't understand how it would work otherwise.
Because the manager has a better rapport with the other people, and she's been viewed through that lens as well.
Like, yeah, but I guess I just don't understand why
she can portray the opposite side of the conflict as well.
Okay. Jay, you were going to agree with Pete. Go ahead.
Oh, I just think that the manager is a severely undercooked character.
Yeah, she is undercooked. She
doesn't do anything, and in the last episode, at one point, her arm is out of the cast, and then she puts the other uniform on, her arm is back in the cast.
there's a scene, I think, in the OP where she's like patting someone on the back and realizes Hime is watching her, and then grabs her hand in pain. It's very funny.
Okay. Because she's obviously actually hurt, yeah. Like,
still, I hated putting her cast character on is a lot of effort. And getting one, it's a lot of effort to remove them. You gotta get them like sawed off, don't you? I've never broken a bone because I'm not weak.
It looks like I've never broken a bone either. It looks like it's like a cloth thing, though.
Well, I fractured my skull one time. I guess that's a pretty big one, but that wasn't my fault.
Hard to put a cast on that, though. So
yeah, I mean, I'm fine. So you know, just get over it, forehead.
So I should have said to my dad when he shattered his leg, just walk it off, you know?
Like, dummy.
Dummy. I mean,
he crawled all the way to the door or whatever.
Yeah, he did. He didn't. He actually didn't get a cast. A titanium rod in his leg now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's cool stuff.
And I think that I liked the chef girl. I forget what her name is off the top of my head. What was it?
Nene.
Nene.
Nene. I liked her. But I do agree with Pete that I think that maybe I don't necessarily agree with Pete's point about like the conversation or whatever, but I don't necessarily like her character that much for a similar reason to the manager, but even more so where it feels like she just isn't around. Like they're even in the kitchen pretty often and she's just not around. Like if we would have just seen her interact, and maybe that says something about her character that she doesn't interact with front of house anymore after all that. Maybe that's kind of what they're trying to do with that. And for anybody who's worked in a restaurant like I have, as someone who worked in the kitchen, no, don't date front of house and don't talk to them most of the time. They're nothing but trouble. And they're not going to share their tips with you.
Don't dip your pen in company ink.
Yeah, that's kind of valid.
Shit where you eat. another way to put it. Yeah,
et cetera. We all have metaphors.
You know, it's the Boston metaphor. It's the terrible one.
But yeah, I just think that those two characters in particular, we could have gotten more out of them to make them actually seem like more like, yeah, like senpai characters. Because I think that in regards to them, like in regards to being like senpais or mentors or whatever, like Tachibana just blows them out of the fucking water when it comes to giving guidance.
Yeah,
also,
I definitely
need to stop fucking up, messing up, carrying the plate. Come on, dude.
How he hard is this? Is dumb as a bag of bricks.
I noticed.
But or is that the character? Is that her trying to like?
I think she's actually just kind of dumb.
She is.
I think she's probably just bad at being a server.
She's used to having things handed to her too, right? Most of her life, she's been told she's pretty, she's cute, blah blah blah, right? Like that's part of the her character arc. Just to finish the bashing on Koshiba or the manager, the one positive thing I had to say about her was I did enjoy that she was like always watching through the screen, which I assume was a metaphor for us watching the show at the same time, like watching them interact and trying to see from an entertainment perspective, is it good for what's going on outside? Are the facades working versus like, oh, they're actually like arguing, or they're not doing their characters right. They're not putting on a spectacle that I would want to watch. So I thought that was a pretty like interesting way to like, maybe do some commentary at yourself, or am I giving the show too much credit again? I don't know.
You are like, I think
that was intentional personally, but yeah,
three distinct layers to this, right? So you have like outside of the cafe, then you have the cafe, then you have like magical cafe world where they like redo the animations and everything. Like she in the OP, the manager opens up a curtain onto the academy. Like it's very intentional that to view this as like an actual piece of media that's happening, like the cafe has that, and she's doing that. What I will say for Nene is that, like, I think she's intentionally undercooked, and then she's brought more to the forefront, like as she gets more comfortable coming back from that. But I sort of like the getting the in medias res version of the cafe. Like it almost feels a little bit like you're following freshmen who don't know everything about what happened, you know, the year before in school or whatever, but there's like additional lore in that, right? So you learn about that as time goes on, and that's relatively common in at least what I've watched, right? So like Berea Watch Diverse has like a bunch of like learning about the backstories of these characters that are at first minor characters that slowly build up over time, with Nene specifically. And as I'm current with the manga, at least what's been published, she becomes a relatively major character. Maya's still her. The manager is just consistently what the manager is. But, you know, I think Jay's interpretation of her not interacting with people because she's still sort of overcoming what happened last time is good, and how I would view it as well.
Yeah, she might be a case of like, oh, I don't trust I've messed up one time, like slipped up one time and fell in love or whatever, and it like nearly destroyed everything. Like I can't, maybe she doesn't trust herself to not do it again.
So yeah, like it, and like far away. I assume nobody here cares about manga spoilers, so
a listener might, but
that's true. But I can say
spoiler warning, spoiler long warning.
Manga spoilers. So, you know, Nene was in love with Tachibana, but Tachibana is straight, so that is also part of that interaction, I guess, of her wanting to sort of not be out front with, they are doing that acting thing with her where you have to put on this this quasi romantic relationship, which I think is like a smart move for your mental health, right? So
is Tachibana straight in the manga? Because I read some manga panels and
she thinks she is.
Oh, okay
as of now.
Okay, because I've definitely read some chapters. I'm like, I don't think she's, at least she's bi, like for sure. Yeah.
I was hearing that Kanoko and Tachibana is like the majority of the manga from what I understand past where we're at, and that just made me check out entirely.
That is not what I would say. They're a factor in it, but it's also how that relates to Hime, because Kanoko is insane and yes. Is not, let's say, dating Tachibana from a authentic point of view.
That's, we could tie back to Pat, and that's where it gets a little bit citrusy.
Well,
it's very citrusy from this, like, the start. I citrus though is like worse, I would say personally.
Oh, for sure. But
okay, I was gonna say
some of those things that you don't like about citrus happens
very
in the
much
manga.
Happen. Oh, good. Where you're not gay until I've sexually assaulted you. Yeah, that's really cool.
That does not happen.
That doesn't happen
in citrus. Oh, it doesn't. Okay,
that's sexual that's what assault. But there's some other citrusy moments, I'll say.
Because that is what happens in citrus, and it's just like,
it's a lot.
What?
Yeah.
What is going on? All right, good. I'm glad to hear that doesn't happen. This show's an 8 out of 10 then, easy.
Not citrus, 8 out of 10.
Not citrus.
I mean, that's valid.
Okay, so I want to know what you guys think of Hime, because I feel like she could be like another pretty controversial character, because she is so, it's hard to tell if she's like authentic or not. Like, she's definitely not authentic all the time, but I guess with this particular cast of characters, she's also maybe one of the more authentic people, because she at least has like some people that she's like herself with, where, you know, as Kaneko mentioned, she can't even be completely honest like with Hime in order to like preserve their dynamic, you know. So I wanted to know positive, negative views on Hime and or why.
I really like her facades, and I can get where she is coming from with her whole perspective of I want everyone to like me, like from a very like basic, like I guess human nature perspective. I want everyone that I want around me to like me too, because I thought it was pretty funny at first when she's like, oh, I want it because I want a rich husband, or I want a comfortable life, or whatever. I thought that was a really interesting perspective, and then seeing how that evolves later on in the show, that was cool. I did find her annoying at times though, too, when she was like Pete said it, she's kind of dumb. Like, she's not very bright at the every moment, you know. It's to a frustrating level, not just from like a storytelling perspective kind of level, I guess, you know. But I really did enjoy how clever she was about her facades at times, both as a child, as someone in the cafe, and then beyond that too, like in the real world too. Like, I thought that was really interesting to see how she played on those dynamics.
Yeah, Hime is somebody that at the start I found her a little bit annoying, but I grew to kind of respect her like consistency and staying true to who she was which is weird to say, because she's like lying about who she is to everybody, but that's her being true to herself in a way, as weird as that is, because at her core she is just a liar. Maybe I'm reading into it wrong. Miles,
no, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, so I think with a lot of these characters, you know, and as, you know, I don't know, I'm a straight man, so feel free to, anyone who wants to have more experience with this can correct me, but like, I find it interesting that it's not directly related to like their sexuality or anything, but from talking to my friends who are queer, there's a lot of, especially when you're younger, like trying to hide and feeling like you can't be yourself, and like trying to do the correct things in order for people to like say the correct things about you. And so I sort of associated those two things, where this is done is sort of more broadly, but it's something that, again, the target audience is probably going to be able to connect to very well with all of these characters, who, you know, the only one who feels like she's completely honest with herself is Yano, and people don't really like her a ton, you know? So I sort of, it's an interesting view from Hime, because she's sort of teaching people how to lie about themselves to like get along, but then she also is honest with them, but she hasn't necessarily instilled into them that honesty that she has, right? Because like Kaneko is less honest to Hime than Hime is to Kaneko.
I mean, let's just call a spade. Hime is incredibly mentally ill.
Yeah.
She has a compulsion to lie. Like, that is not a normal, healthy way, like a normal, healthy relationship to have with the truth and your sense of self. And I know I was just saying that that's true to her, but it's her being true to her mental illness is more.
She's completely like people's perception of her completely rules her. Right.
Yes.
Like when they're talking about making a new rule that involves a popularity contest and they asked her what she would do if she would win a contest that involves everyone liking you, she said, "I would make it the rule that everyone has to like me." And it's like, well, that's a requirement, you know, but that's like how focused on that she is. And I really like that line. I thought it was funny.
It's interesting. I think that overall, while she can be very like infuriating at points, I think that's kind of the point. And she's an interesting, like, she has like a duality to her in the fact that like her being true to herself in her eyes is putting up the facade and lying to everybody, and it's sort of like a vicious cycle where she has to keep building and building and building on it. And then she also wants to be truthful to the people that she cares about, but that involves telling them that she's a fucking liar, and people don't like that.
Yes.
Besides Kanoko, because she is, you know,
yeah,
the person who is more mentally ill than Hime is Kanoko. So it's just, yeah, basically like what I said at the beginning, where it's all just a big cycle of lesbian tragedy.
Yeah, but there's something interesting about Hime too, where she, in the location where everyone is putting on a facade, like at the cafe, she performs relatively poorly. You know, like everyone can sort of do their bit at the cafe, but she's like a little worse at acting there, and she's not good at her role right away, despite having acted most of the time. And I think that's an interesting sort of twist on it too.
Would you say that she is being more true to her true self at the cafe than she is outside of it? Would you say there's a marked difference there, or do you think she still facades just as hard at the cafe?
I think that she does. So there's, I think my personal take is that there's a few different layers to the cafe. There's, because she definitely facades at the cafe when she's trying to get people to like her and to sort of like forcing Yano like
whenever
to
like she's
her.
Like, whenever she's doing the little sister act super hard and stuff like that. Yeah.
But then there's like when like the school happens or whatever, and they're like the extras sort of fade away and everything. And I think that's when she's sort of being herself, because I think she wants Yano to like her in a much more authentic way than she wants everyone else to like her. Yeah. So like even though she's sort of acting
because of the trauma, sorry to interrupt you, but it is legitimately because of childhood trauma that Yano indirectly, even though it was somewhat directly, because it was really Hime's fault for saying all that shit.
Yes, Hime was like, "You have to trust me, but I'm a liar."
Yeah.
And you know, for someone as literal as Yano is, that's a bit of an ask. You know, so it's just like, I know that you have issues with people not liking you, but I'm going to pretend to not like you in large groups of people so that, like, no, fuck you, Hime. you know, but I do think that, like, I like that view, right? Like, she's able to be herself a little bit more authentically in this acting part, and she actually has trouble doing that a bit. Pete, you had a take.
Yeah, I really like Hime. She reminds me of one of my favorite characters.
Griffith.
You ruined the joke.
Wait, hang on, guys. Griffith. Here we go. All right,
oh,
now layer
that. Are you actually going to say Griffith?
Yes!
Oh, because of Femto?
God damn, we're crazy.
Like, I was going to say, you know, in the public eye, the masses view her as, like, you know, people come towards her. Like, she is the center of gravity. She has two friends that really know who she is. She has a dream. She will stop at nothing to achieve that dream. And she's pure evil. I love Hime.
Is Kanoko Guts?
I'd say Yano is Guts.
Yeah, Yano can be Guts.
And that's Kanoko funny.
Let's not make Kanoko Guts.
Kanoko is like a...
Casca.
She is not Casca. She is not Casca.
Kanoko is like Schnoz or whatever that guy's name
the
is,
giant you know? Nose that they ride. Yeah,
yeah.
I'll take that. Yeah, but no, I do enjoy Hime. I do like how, you know, they don't really like play it off as like a joke. I mean, sometimes they do, but like they do the whole like she like lies to everybody all the time throughout the entire story, and I really like that they didn't like shy away from that. Like, it's kind of refreshing to see that character.
Yeah, I have respect for it, honestly, that she was kind of like she was honest about lying. Like, I was kind of like, you know what? I actually kind of respect that. Mm-hmm. It would have went over way better with me than it did with Yana, is all I'm saying. Like, I would be able to truly be like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I mean, I think that
I'm also a 27-year-old man, and she was like 5 years old or some shit. Like that,
so. And it's like her only friend. Her only friend.
The little girl was talking about me to her friends and was like, "I don't like him." I would probably be like, "Why does she have an opinion about me?" And I would probably run away, honestly.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, don't worry. I don't actually not like you. I just like quit our activity together so that you wouldn't get bullied anymore. How come you don't innately understand that?
Yeah.
Should have shared the plan a little bit more, honestly.
Yeah, he makes like a bit Machiavellian, right? Where she like wants everyone to like understand the vibe that's going on that she has. Like, she has like a little bit of main character syndrome.
She's like Lacan in Apothecary Diaries, where she just sees people as chess pieces.
Yes. It's what a good comparison for Hime, the most detestable character in Apothecary Diaries.
Don't tell that to Stoney.
What? No.
She's a freak. Yes. For him.
I mean, that makes so much sense, but no.
Yeah, shout out Stoney. There you go.
Yeah, I would like honestly shout out for Stoney. It doesn't matter how evil someone is, if they're hot, she'd get
and old. Like, yeah.
Shout out to the giant statue from Solo Leveling.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
I guess I got on something by not knowing.
You think you know somebody, Pat.
I mean, I gotta say, I get the statue, that look. You that, know, like, the grin.
It's always like the, you know, the hear me outs, and it's like a super attractive person. This time it's actually like a hear me out. It's a fucking statue. Like, this person is not living and they're made of stone, but I'd hit.
Hear me out.
Okay. Do we want to get to the Kadako of it all? Are we like, is that where we want to be?
I feel like we're like all, maybe not, honestly.
So I love Kanako from
there we go. We are not in the same boat.
No, really. I mean, she's insane. We're
together for like three words then all of a sudden it goes away.
This close.
Yeah, when I said love, it was over. So the second word crushed it. But like, I from the perspective of like this is supposed to be like a very messy drama, and that's a powder keg, right? We have seen them light the fuse for this, which is Kadako is insane, like insane, and that has to, I mean, surely it has to explode at some point, right? So like, from a narrative development standpoint, having such a wild card in there, I think is great. That doesn't mean I like her as a human. She's crazy.
Yeah.
But I do really like her from like a perspective of someone who is definitely going to snap at some point and cause a whole bunch of drama, which is why I'm reading this, right? Like, that's part of the goal. And I think she does that job well.
So how I compared Hime to Griffith, I compare Kanako to the guy with like three teeth and perfect blue, where he's literally yeah. like putting her on a pedestal in his hand. Like, that's how he views her. Like, Kanako has like massive panic attacks where I feel like she's about to like spontaneously combust, and then she just busts out her phone and has their homework folder, I'm gonna call it that, where it's just thousands of pictures of Hime, and then immediately is like soothed. It's like, oh yes, my Hime. And then she's like, ah, oh, I'm all better now. I'm like, you're fucking weird.
I would like to amend a statement that I made earlier. It is creepy even though,
yeah,
I am sorry. Yeah. That was an L on my part, and I'm willing to accept that I misspoke there.
Like, I mean, assume he freaks out.
It would be worse if it was a man doing this to a young girl, but it is still very, very creepy.
It'd be bad. Yeah, it's bad with anyone doing it, but like, out of the possible combinations, this is the only one that would like be put into a show in an unironic or non-satirical way, which is why I think that they did it. I assume that that's why they did it, right? Like, where they're like, oh, look, yeah, this isn't that weird, or this is viewed as romantic or viewed as whatever.
I think it's viewed as really weird. Like, again.
Because Tachibana sees it
freaked out by it. Yeah. Like,
that's fair.
I took it like, you know how, like, people.
It's their voyeur photos, too.
You know how, like, people have, like, their idol? Like, they cheer for their idol. Like, Hime is, like, her idol, and, like, nobody else is allowed to, like, have her.
Like, we compared it to Hey Arnold.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, Helga from Hey Arnold. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, God. Yeah. But, like, Pat, the reason I would do it is because, like, when Kanako was talking about this to Sumika, right, she, like, one, the music gets all eerie. Like, despite the door, I thought the sound design in this was, like, pretty good. Like, they did a lot of good, like, mood-setting shots and stuff, or sounds. But then, like, they do a Dutch angle, which is when you, like, rotate the camera, like, 45 degrees. Yeah. And then they zoom in on her face slowly as she's talking about why she needs to do this. Like, she's insane, and the show is very aware that she's insane.
Okay, but it's usually played as a joke when a character's like that.
Oh, this too. Yeah, it's not played as a joke. It's played as she's crazy.
Right, but so I guess that's my point, is like they were drawing attention to that or whatever, and which is why they probably have it in the show though, right? Like, they wouldn't just put it in to shits and giggles. Like, there's gonna be a reason for it.
Stare at the camera next season.
Like, so my personal take is, like, Kanako's view of, like, romance, of, like, never going for it in order to perpetuate, like, a state where she can be romantically interested in Hime, despite Hime not being romantically interested in her, and, like, sort of preserving that, is something that the author views negatively, that is something that could be, you know, like, is sort of like a different twist on these, like, platonic romantic relationships, is my sort of view on it, right? So you have Tachibana, who is currently very pro, literally just doing the platonic romantic thing, right? Like, no actual romance. You can't do that here. That causes issues. You destroy the illusion that this thing comes up with. And that actually technically coincides with Kanako, but she can't understand why someone would have romantic feelings for someone else and never act on them, right? So that's like, because, like, Sumika has, like, a whole identity crisis over this. She's like, what am I even trying to stop Kanako from doing if she's never going to act on her romantic impulses on Hime, you know? And so I think they're showing sort of like two different sides of that coin, but both of them are portrayed sort of negatively, but to, like, different degrees.
So you had mentioned that these characters are based off of, like, tropes in Yuri.
Yeah.
What trope is Kanako's stalkerish tendency? Like,
yeah, so that, not that I have seen so far. So, like, I don't necessarily think that the characters are tropes. I think, like, my examples for this are, like, Sumika's saying that there, like, can't be relationships is sort of one of them, where that is something that is very core to that, right? You can't have, like, an actual romantic relationship. So, like, the sort of the rules of the cafe are what stand in for tropes in my mind, and then the characters playing off of them but also existing in the real world where these tropes are not applicable is where the drama sort of comes in. So, like, obviously this is very heavy-handed, but in episode 12 with Yano's boobs is an example of this that I would give, right? So they're very concerned about her outward appearance, and, like, her boobs do look massive in that tank, but it's not like, or in that outfit, but it's not, I mean, for anime especially, it's not, like, particularly lewd or anything. And they're very concerned about the perception of the audience to that, and not concerned about Yano's, like, bodily autonomy there, right? Like, or how she thinks she looks there. So, like, that sort of caring about the outfits being, like, very, like, pure and chaste and all of that is how I sort of view the tropes interacting with the characters, more so than the characters themselves being tropes, if that makes sense.
I think I got it.
Yeah.
Hey, like, this is a lot for such a show that I was not as impressed by. It's like, am I trying to give it too much credit? You know, like, I want to, but it's also like, damn.
Yeah, so I
did, way, did literally yeah. everybody except you miss it somehow too. Like that's what I
do think
know.
You have like, to be familiar with like a relatively niche piece of meat. You know what I mean? It's not like we're all here consuming the shit out of 1990s Yuri content, right? Like,
just me.
Speak for yourself. It's seriously,
not
like
it's
yeah.
not like it's missable in my opinion if I am correct, right? And like that's not even to say that like I love meta commentary, like. Again, it bumps things up multiple points for me for doing like a show within a show type of thing. But the way that I view it is that like when they're acting in the cafe, like the cafe is supposed to be like them putting on this Class S manga. But then it's showing how regular people would interact with that and like the expectations that puts on them and all of that, which is why you get sort of the drama about not wanting these relationships or the outfit in things to come in the future and the like, you know, so that's why I like it so much, because it's taking a genre that maybe has some problematic elements to it and sort of saying, this is what happens when you impose those rules on an actual group of people. And here we go.
See, I love that. And I brought it up when I was talking with somebody earlier, where if you want to like look for those things, like I love doing that, like digging more into that meta commentary in specific shows. The one that I always mentioned is the hospital scene in Evangelion. There's a specific reason for that scene. When you find out the reason for that scene, to me, it elevates the show. What I think Yuri is my job kind of hinders at is just being boring, to be honest, from my viewpoint, where it's like, these aspects of the show exist, but if you don't get me intrigued in what's happening, I'm not going to care. So like you telling me all these things are things that I love in media. I would love to dig more into it. I just wish the show presented it in a way where I cared more.
That's, I mean, super fair, right? So like after I finished the show, I went and bought every volume of the manga and like just finished
Yo,
it.
Yo, me too, know. Right?
And, you know, because I was really interested about how these relationships would play out, you know, because we actually got to see two girls kiss on screen.
We did,
you know, so that gave me some hope for the future. And then I thought Nene was going to become like a more prominent character. So I was interested in that and she does. So, you know, I was paid off from there, but like, I also, you know, like one of my favorite television shows is Riverdale. Like I love sloppy ass drama stuff. So this is
Carol and Tony are way better disaster lesbians than anybody in Yuri is my job. And I'll take that shit to my grave.
No one's put a heart in a locker yet.
True. Nobody's brought their dead brother's
corpse into
the table while they
oh my god
yo I gotta check out Riverdale. This sounds lit.
Riverdale is amazing.
Riverdale is incredible.
Is that the Peter Finch thing or whatever his name is?
No, it's
no Archie. You're thinking of Twin Peaks, which is actually good.
Riverdale is very similar to Twin Peaks in a lot of ways.
It has a lot of the same actors.
Not elaborate.
Well, it casts a lot of the same people intentionally. Like I think, anyways.
We are now a Twin Peaks podcast.
I've never seen Twin Peaks. I need to watch it.
Watching Twin Peaks through the lens of Riverdale, a new podcast.
Ooh.
I mean.
A short analysis, and it's like a 45-hour YouTube video or something. Yeah. Like,
in this video essay, I will. Don't threaten me with a good time, Jay. yeah, I mean, like, you know, that's fair. Like, if the drama and stuff, like, didn't hit for you, then, like, the show just didn't hit for you. But, like, to me, I'm really interested because I want to know, like, what the moral of this ends up being, right? Because I think in my head, it's like very clearly media commentary. And so I want to see what's happening. And then if I don't understand things, I've learned a lot by looking into them, you know, which I think is a lot of the reason that I like anime. But I also, is the thing that I've realized that when I view things, I sort of view things as a show more often than I view them as like, I don't know, like I look at like maybe even too much, but like meta tropes and like, things like how I expect things to go yep. based off of writing and all of that, as opposed to like doing whatever the show gives me. It's sort of like, well, this would have to happen because otherwise it's like bad writing. And like sometimes that betrays you, like a certain ongoing manga. And
bro, come on. You did it three times last episode.
And it's only been once this time.
True. That means we should wrap up right now before we get more of those references in.
I think that might be why I like it, because like I think a lot of this might feel like something that's like pieced together to other people. I don't know if that makes sense, but like I love that. Yep. Right, I sort of love the Frankenstein's monster exquisite corpse sort of thing of like different tropes and everything put together.
I couldn't agree more. Just this one just did not hit for me. Otherwise, like on paper I feel like this would be like a 9 for me, but it's just how it's executed to me is just it ain't it.
Oh, okay.
Are we ready? Are we ready, guys? Are we ready to do our final scores and closing thoughts? And you're. Yeah. You're. Whatever. Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, Yuri. Good Lord, we are fucked up today. Go ahead, Viles. Lead us off with the highest score.
Oh, yeah, I imagine we'll stay on the trend that I'm about to start. I adore this show. I think it's super interesting. It hits me with lesbian drama, which I love, and like meta commentary, which I also really enjoy. It does like the whole show within a show thing super well, I think, and explores tropes in like a very interesting way, which I like. I find the characters
it's a TV show?
A play cafe in a show.
Okay, sorry. I was just very confused for a second. Sorry.
No, it's okay. This is just a side note, but I want there to be a cafe with a plot around me so bad because I just love that idea.
Like, what do you say, Anime Yaoi Cafe? It's popping up in the Northeast sometime this summer.
It's coming. Yeah, but I won't get to go to that. I'll be an actor.
In Skowhegan, Maine. Skowhegan, Maine.
If I'm ever healthy enough to participate in the activities. But I don't know. I love this. If you ended up watching this and you at all liked it, I would say that the manga is a good read. It definitely gets way more spicy, the thing that Pete said it was lacking. I think it is impossible to say that the manga is not spicy.
It is spicy. Which I think Araraki ruined my score. So
okay, just because of like the position we got into it, like the window in which we've used this.
There was no point to the last episode.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. I mean, it's like an OVA, right? Like, I don't know. We saw some like clips from their life. Could you have put that anywhere else in the show? Yeah, you could have. I don't know. I enjoyed it. Anyways, I gave this a 9 out of 10 when I first watched it, and I'm gonna stick there. I'm gonna go 9 out of 10.
Ooh, I'd give it a 10.
I don't know. I maybe with like the extra stuff from the manga or whatever, or maybe when I could fully put my brain around like the other media that it's involved in. But I think I did an okay job for having a fever and being sick. So we're just gonna just stick. We're not gonna get too spicy.
Yay. Good job, Miles.
Okay. Well, yeah, I was expecting a 10 because you've been saying that like since the show came out that it's a 10. But take a 9 from you.
Yeah, I'll take. Well, I gave it a 9 originally. I mean, if I said it was a 10, yeah, that was a lie. But that was in theme of the show.
He's so clever. Look at this guy. Flu game for real. For real, for real. Jay, what is your score and what are your final thoughts?
Yeah, so final thoughts. Honestly, talking about this kind of. I wouldn't say it necessarily boosted my final score, but it does make me feel a little bit better about the show overall. Maybe I'll actually read the manga if it is, in fact, spicier.
It is.
It is.
I think that this show, like, if you're somebody who you're really into, like, this is a weird take, all right? If you watch Monogatari, but you're like, I don't like the supernatural element and I want the animation to be bad. You should peep it, because it is just people talking at each other for like 21
minutes. That is another thing I love, right? People just talking at each other for 20 minutes. So.
Which isn't a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's just like that will filter out a lot of people who don't want to see that sort of thing.
There is a Yu Yu Hakusho reference in episode 12 for whatever that's worth, for the shonen bros out there.
Cool. Nice. The lesser Togashi property. But overall, I think that Kimé was somebody who I really despised at the start, but I grew to, like, I like to hate her because she's a very interesting character and has a lot of, like, interesting character arcs that I would like to maybe explore more in the manga or season two that this will never get. But overall, I don't think that this show was very much to write home about. If you're somebody who's super into Yuri and like the other stuff I said, then check it out. But I'm definitely not the target audience for this, and I'm giving this a 5.
We take those.
We take those, huh? Okay. 5 out of 10 from Jay. Pete, what about you, buddy?
My biggest issue with the show itself was the cast. Though I do think some characters maybe are well written, or maybe not bad characters, I should say. It's more of just going along the lines of trying to connect with a character. Where, like, in a lot of these shows with a cast of, say, 4 people, you have the main person, the antagonist, and, like, a supporting cast. And then you kind of have a rough idea of, like, who to root for, who to cheer against. And to me, this show, I kind of had, like, a really hard time of, like, picking a character that I...
Too complex for you.
That's not true.
That's what you said.
That's not what I said. That's not what I said at all. That's what you are putting words into my mouth. I just had a hard time finding a character that, like, I was, like, really actively, like, rooting for. And I did like Tachibana until, like, the last, like, 3 episodes where I kind of fell off from her as well. So when you're just watching a show where all 4 of these characters you aren't cheering for or rooting against, I guess, it kind of just falls into a void of kind of, like, mediocrity and boredom. And that's kind of just, like, where I landed. This has, like, the comedy tag. I don't think I laughed once.
Oh my god, I laughed all the time. Hime's faces and stuff, I love. There were just, like, shots where, like, she would be, like, grinning like a little gremlin in, like, a wide shot.
Yeah.
Like, in the corner. It was great.
Maybe Anya ruined all my gremlin shots, and that's what I'm looking for. But to me, I really just do think that this show was just super boring. That's just what it came down to. I'm gonna give it a 4. It had some nice qualities, but for the most part, just super boring.
We don't take those.
Should I give it a 3 so it looks like a W and you take those dubs?
No.
Okay, then it's a 4.
Jeez, okay. I enjoyed the dialogue enough for the show to keep me hooked. I talked about earlier, really liked Hime's facades, multiple facades. I thought that was a very interesting aspect of the show. I think that's around where my compliments end. Again, the characters were interesting enough to keep me, and the dynamics that they played off with each other, I thought were interesting enough to keep me going for the most part, especially the manager, like the front staff, like everyone was saying earlier. Yeah, like don't stay away from them. I like the other 4 a little bit more, or I guess the 4 main that are in the poster, whatever we'd want to say. So yeah, like we talked about earlier, I would not recommend it. And I just, yeah, I guess I don't know enough about Japanese Yuri plays from the 1990s to enjoy this show fully. And I think I'm okay with that, personally. But I will give the show credit for some of the fun that I had, and that I really truly wasn't bored at any point while watching it. I which can't always say for shows. So I'm gonna give this a 6. I think that's a fair score. Where
makes the math easy.
It made the math very easy for me too, I noticed. Yes. So yeah, Yuri's My Job comes out to a 6.00 repeating indefinitely. So yeah, that's 0.7 lower than the MAL score. I don't know if I expected us to be like this low. I
dropped it after 1 episode.
Yeah, but that was dumb of you.
No, actually, looking back at it, that was really smart of me.
I kind of agree.
I can't believe you liked Yurikuma Arashi and like not this, since they're so
similar.
I was thinking that too, that like, which one did I think I liked Yurikuma Arashi a little more.
Hold
because
on. Do
it,
I have the soundboard ready?
Yeah, please do you it. Should. Please do it.
Nope, it's locked behind level 3.
Okay.
We need more Discord members that are
who have
joining
boosts.
Us.
I need one
that
boost.
Can boost us. We need just one boost, everybody. This is our PBS plea.
Plea. For, yes.
Yeah, like
attention. All. What do you say? What do you say? Anime gamers. Pete is in trouble. It needs your help to unlock the level 3 soundboard. Run to your mom's purse and grab the card in the front. Read us the numbers on the front. The first names on the names on the front and the 3 numbers on the back.
And your zip code. Don't
yes,
forget your
that,
zip
thank
code.
Thank you, Pat. Sick. Fill in the plug, Pat.
Sick tax fraud, Pat, or something. Or sick credit card theft.
Credit card fraud.
Yeah, it's Pete's favorite white collared crime.
Yeah,
it's super cool. More people
it is
can
cool
do
to do. Objectively, yes.
I'm endorsing tax fraud.
Nice. I say I work for a publicly traded company.
So do I.
I gotta shut up.
I work for a much bigger publicly traded company.
We're in our blackout
tax fraud, kids.
Works for the biggest publicly traded company.
Probably me.
Saudi Aramco.
No, it's me.
I think it's Pete, probably.
I work for a Fortune 5 company.
Where are we? Oh no. We were like Fortune 50 or something, so you probably
sorry, don't be broke.
We got delisted from NASDAQ, so yeah. it's okay. We're alive. Sweet. Well, thank you, Miles, for finally sending me what show won. Because that wraps up our discussion of Yuri is My Job.
Yay.
I mean, how dare Miles be sick and not be ready to give me answers. But yeah, so 2 weeks from now, Miles, what will we be watching?
Yeah. Okay. So
come
in third
on,
place.
Uma Musume.
It's not up.
Damn it. Again. I lost.
Okay. It's second. Cromartie High School, whatever.
Well, we got third.
Oh, I meant third. The third. Cromartie High School.
We take those.
Or whatever it's called. Second. It's Sakamoto. Look at me. Sakamoto.
Hey,
now.
Look at me now.
I don't know. Here's the thing. Jay, I feel genuinely bad about this. I didn't have a
hey,
show.
Cromartie got third. Sakamoto
got second.
I just got DC. Right.
Okay.
I thought it was second. You at first. I was like, that's a pretty funny freezing time.
So, Monthly Girls Nozaki-kun won. That's what I nominated. I don't know anything about the show. I don't care about it
it's
at all.
It's super fun. You'll like it a lot.
You all should have voted for Look at Me, I'm Sakamoto. That's my take.
I voted for Sakamoto Days, so that apparently that's why I didn't win.
It's not Sakamoto Days. Stop calling it Sakamoto Days. That's fucking a weekly Shonen Jump.
I know, that was
that
the joke.
Have an anime.
That was the joke.
Oh, wait. Taking Pete's votes away from Sakamoto Days. I didn't do that. Okay. Anyways, that's
sorry,
what we're doing.
I'm bad at recognizing jokes, Pete. And you did call it Sakamoto Days a few times.
I know.
Not jokingly.
I know.
Jay is the Yano of our of our podcast. He's just
that's
very
factual.
Sincere. Anyways, we have like a short turnaround because Pete's going to Japan, so we're doing short stuff next time. Hooray!
Surely I'll win.
Yeah, well, movies are short, right?
All right, let's talk about what we're nominating for our next episode. So since we're not going to have as much time to watch because Pete's, you know, going to Japan and doing his thing, we will be doing shorts or shorter movie shows. So something that's like, you know, a 3-minute, 15-minute show, or we're going to do a movie just so that we respect people's time and budget it properly. So, yeah, let's do it. Miles, what are you nominating for your movie/shorts show?
Sure. I didn't have a lot of time to think about this, so I just asked someone what to do, and they said, I don't know, a Ghibli film, so I'm going to do Princess Mononoke.
Didn't we already do that?
No.
No, we did Howl's Moving Castle.
We did the Tale of... Oh. No.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Tales of Princess Kaguya.
Yeah,
my bad.
That's okay, bud. No worries.
Now I can blame it on my brain fog. Oh, this day was so long, I can't remember anything. My brain hurts.
Are you done making fun of us working class people, Pete?
I worked today.
I did it. I took the day off.
Yeah,
I slept for like 8 hours.
No, I know.
Look at this bum.
I took multiple naps today that were 4 hours long.
Bum ass.
I wish I did that. Jay, what about you? What are you nominating?
Okay. So I'm nominating something that is a certified classic, something that is arguably the most well-animated film of all time.
The Yuri Is My Job Disney compilation
fans,
film.
Disney fans argue it with the wall. I don't care. I am nominating Dragon Ball Super Broly.
Ooh, that's fun.
We had a week. We had 2 weeks of Yuri Is My Job where it was just people talking at each other in a room about lesbian tragedy. Now I want just a week of dudes screaming at each other so hard that the earth explodes around them.
Can you give me some like 1990s light novels to read in preparation for Dragon Ball Super Broly?
Yeah, Dragon Ball.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Oh, also, there's a really old one called Journey to the West.
Oh, yeah.
That's based on Dragon Ball, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So, go for
that. Which was based on Maria Watches Over Us. Little known.
Full circle.
They should make one called Goku Watches Over Us.
He does. Up.
We're sending the spirit energy. Okay.
To Miles.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. I get it. Oh, so I need to go like this then.
No, that's the fusion dance.
That's the fusion dance.
Your energy.
Yo, Miles, go like this. Hey.
Other way. Wait, I have to go the other way.
No, you were good. You were
okay,
good.
I was going to say.
It's only me?
No, you guys are good. We got it.
Okay, we got it. Pete is saying we got it. I believe him.
Someone clip that. Our audio listeners will be really fucking confused.
On my roller coaster.
on my screen, it looks like we all exactly didn't have it.
Yeah, no. It's different on what you see compared to what's getting recorded. So we got there, guys. Good shit. Woo!
Hell yeah.
Proud of us. All right, sweet. Pete, what are you nominating for this movie thing?
Miles stole my thunder because I was going to nominate a Ghibli film, and I still am. I'm going to nominate Nausicaa, The Valley of the Wind.
Okay, cool. I'm down with that. I want to like watch some more Ghibli stuff before I go to Japan because, like, I don't know, it seems to be common in their stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty popular. It's like Ghibli and Uma Musume and Love Live. I'm not even joking. I'm dead serious.
No, I know. Like, right? Like, freaking Tyler was there, and it was like the amount of Uma Musume merch he found was outstanding to me.
This is not a meme.
No, it was like day one. He's like, yeah, I just left the airport, and it's like 8 figures of every Uma Musume character. It's like they just hand these to you. It's like a lei in Hawaii.
Yeah. Nice.
I have a quick question because I wasn't here when we established this rule. Is like 2 movies okay? Totals 3.5 hours?
No.
Yeah, probably. Long. Is it? Okay. Yeah,
that's essentially a 12 episode.
Is that? Okay.
Yeah, okay. Either way. All right. Then I was going to nominate To Every You I've Loved Before and To Me, The One Who Loved You. It's the pairing movie. It's super cool. It's really cool. I really need someone else to actually watch it other than
Kazuki. I told you I would, so you know what I will soon. I'm
Thank
sorry.
You. That's Thank you. No, it's okay. It's okay. I get it. My life is fucking busy as shit right now too. So instead, we're gonna do another movie.
Oh, okay.
The Tunnel.
I was thinking about. Yeah, I was like, do I do? I can't understand what my husband's saying because I think people really enjoy that.
Some legacy points.
It does. Oh, you know what? So does Tunnel. But let's do that. I can't understand what my husband's saying. Thank you, Miles. You've influenced me. Yeah, give him the powers and. I'm
highly convincing and charming. My current state.
This show has a lot of references that I bet you guys will be able to get now. That probably a reference I used to miss because I watched this before I was like 300 shows deep into my anime watching. So yeah, we'll see what happens. I think that wraps up Watch Club. I think we've pretty much got everything done. So Pete, take it away.
Fantastic. If you want to support us, the best way to do so, like, comment, subscribe, leave a review on whatever platform you're watching or listening to us on. Next week will be the winter review for 2024. So we'll be talking like Free Ren and Apothecary Diaries for about 55 minutes and then sprinkle in like Seventh Time Loop somewhere. So look forward to that. Otherwise, if you are here for Watch Club in 2 weeks, we'll be watching Monthly Girls Nozaki-kun. Thanks, and we will see you next time. Peace!
Bye-bye!